This is too small to see, but you have to take my word for it if you're back about four rows back, I guess. This is a chart showing last names that appear on the church registers in fur trade communities in this Midwestern Middle Ground area. Last names of Indians, okay? And so we have the name Chevalier, okay? There's an Indian named Chevalier in St. Joseph. And there's another, and St. Joseph is Michigan, southern Michigan. There's another Indian named Chevalier in Michilimackinac. Mackinac is the fur trade center, if you remember on your maps, way up where Superior and Huron come together, way up north, okay? There's another Chevalier at Green Bay. There's a Chevalier at Detroit. And there's a Chevalier at Cahokia, near where modern St. Louis is, okay? So, an Indian mixed heritage family with the last name Chevalier appearing in all of these places. How can that be? Well, it's a reflection of this economic role and cultural role that these people played. These are names that appear throughout the 18th century. So this is not just at one moment. This is these names come up. So it's the second or third generation. The other thing, the historian, Susan Sleeper Smith, who's a historian at Michigan State who developed this chart, one of the things she wanted to find out, well, how did this happen? How did the Chevaliers get around? What she found was that, and she follows this family, Larchevêque at St. Joseph. This is an Indian woman, this is an Illinois woman, who when her children are ready to be baptized, she takes them to Green Bay and baptizes them there. Now, why would someone do that? What do you need to be baptized? You need a priest, you need some water, you need a baby, and what else? Come on. Who stands there? Who's there? Yeah. The godparents, okay? She has her children baptized, where's Larchevêque? Over here. In these places, and she has her trading partners, who are other families like her, stand there as godparents, okay? And then, of course, over time, these are people that you have connections with, and they are people who become relatives, okay? And this mechanism of creating godparents, and then step back for a minute, and again, I know I've covered this very quickly, but I keep saying Native communities are kinship communities, okay? People are relatives, and one of the traditions in these communities is you make relatives. If someone is close to you, you bring them into your family, and anthropologists use the term fictive kin. That is, they're kin, but they're not actually blood kin, but they get to be treated as kin. Well, godparents, and probably many of you at least have or know about people with godparents, they become kind of fictive kin. They're not blood kin, but they're special people in your family, okay? So here's a whole world of families, of Indian families, really built around a backbone of women who are Catholic and who are traders in this middle ground period. Okay? Wonder if the anthropologist has anything to add to that or comment. Because I'm using all these anthropological terms, I realize I may not be doing it right. But now think again, I keep going back to those comments, you know, about the contest of cultures, civilization, you know, it doesn't work here. This is a mixed community of genetically mixed, culturally mixed, geographically mixed. Okay? This is the middle ground. Okay? This is a combination of two worlds. It's not a confrontation between two worlds. Okay?